So we have sound card problems again. I wish I knew what they were. But, you know, that's just how it goes. This program is live. This is The Horn. And it is Wednesday, the 18th day of September 2019. And I guess we'll just have to get by without the opening and without the hymn and the you know, shilly-shallying that goes along with prayer meeting Wednesday. But we got prayer meeting Wednesday material. We're not hurting for that by any stretch of the imagination. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. We are at midweek, and, you know, it's been a different kind of fundraising-free radio this week. It's not the fundraising-free radio I like. This week, it's been This week, it's been no fundraising week. We had a community-made miracle on Friday, and then, yeah. Announcement. We do have a challenge on the table this evening, courtesy of Tracy. Tracy is offering up the it's a simple challenge of a simple title. It's just called the Fuck Trump Challenge. And it's $25, and Tracy will double whoever whatever combination of Horn community members comes up with $25. That is incredibly important, because we are at midweek and we are at $590 for a fundraising goal. That means we have raised precisely $10 during the live portion of the program this week. $10. So that $25 is on the table, courtesy of Tracy. If met, it'll take us down to $540, and we'll get going from there. If you'd like to be part of the Merry Wacky Zany real-time multimedia extravaganza that's The Horn chat room, then, by Jove, head on over to headon.live, click on chat room, pick out a screen name and a password, and you'll be in the thick of things, met by early arrivers Anatole and Squeaky, and capably moderated by pinch-hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all-around great guy, Steve from Georgistan. So, I have no idea why we don't have audio out of the computer. I'm just completely flummoxed. It comes and it goes. It lieth as it listeth, I think is the old saying. But we have thanks to send out. We have thanks for our subscribers on this, the 18th day of the month. Thank you to Charlene in Rhode Island. Thank you to Stephen, and thank you to Grace. Thank you one and all for being partial sponsors of the program and helping to knock out about a quarter of our funding in any given month. Thank you so very much indeed. Again, thanks to Charlene and Stephen and Grace. Well, thank you very kindly to all-around great guy Steve in the chat room. $15 to go on Tracy's challenge. Thank you. Remember, that's the Fuck Trump Challenge. And do please enjoy it while it lasts. Let's see. I got up this morning, engaged in my filthy little morning habit, watching the conniptions over Corey Lewandowski. And of course, what did the so-called ex-Republican, you know, Joe Scar? Well, he wasn't there, actually. But the rest of them were hand-wringing, or was he? I can't remember now. He's ephemeral that way. But they were hand-wringing about what a terrible job the Democrats did yesterday in examining Corey Lewandowski, as if there was some other way to do what they did. I mean, I guess the Morning Joe Zoo crew wanted somebody to come over the rostrum and grab him by the shirt by the lapels and just shake him real good. And that probably would have been satisfying, but probably also would have been illegal. But that, you know, we've moved on from that now, for the most part. I got a note here to begin things, courtesy of Lady B, who cuts through the fog and gets right to the heart of the matter. I had it right here in front of me. There's Lady B. Lady B says, listening to some of Lewandowski's testimony, and I am fucking appalled. He's sitting there in front of the legislative branch of the United States government and acting like his parents just told him he has to clean his room. Not long ago, an aspiring black woman on her way to accept a job at a southern college in Texas was pulled over and then arrested and thrown in jail by a cop who thought she had insulted him while in jail, depressed and panicked about losing her job. She killed herself. Bob. She was thrown in jail for allegedly disrespecting a cop. Say it again. She was thrown in jail for allegedly disrespecting a cop. This Lewandowski motherfucker works for the President of the United States, and he's talking to the House of Representatives like he owns the place. He looks like the most arrogant, disrespectful asshole the devil ever shit out. It may be for shock value, but this ain't no game. This is bigger than him. This is about our fucking country's future. Besides, an attitude like that has been known to get a person killed in some parts of America. He doesn't deserve to die, but he damn sure doesn't deserve to walk around free either. Not to mention he's coming across as the biggest prick this world has ever seen. This is the face of America, Lady B asks. This is what we think is acceptable behavior from our president and his advisors? Fuck you, moderates, fence sitters, and abstainers. Fuck the purity patrol. Look at this shit. This is what you wanted? This was the lesser of two evils? You know what? If we get through this mess unscathed, I think unscathed is pretty well out of the question. If we get through this mess unscathed, forget about repairing our image in the world. We gotta fix us. There is no way we can maintain the rule of law after this. This is what we get for not doing our moral duty. This is what we get for thinking it could never happen to me. It could never happen here. This is what happens when, in order to fuck over some, you end up fucking us all. And once again, Lady B brings her A game to begin our little discussion this evening. Because things like what happened yesterday and the fact that subpoenas were issued and people just didn't show up because, hey, subpoena means under penalty in Latin. And the penalty is that of being held to account for your gross disrespect for the process and for the rule of law. The problem, however, is that we are structurally hamstrung. Because there is no prosecutor for the legislative branch. All that crap has to go through the Attorney General of the United States, and the Attorney General of the United States is as or more corrupt than the man who was sitting at the witness table yesterday admitting that he lies at will. you know, he talked about taking his kids to the beach instead of delivering the message that Nitwit Nero wanted to be have sent to Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions the Third. My kids wanted to go to the beach, he said, so I took them to the beach. Well, in a family like that, what do you think his kids are going to grow up to be? What kind of human being are Mr. and Mrs. Lewandowski raising? What sorts of horrors will they be when they reach adulthood? Because they're going to know what their daddy did. They're going to know how he responded when he was called upon to simply tell the truth. They're going to know that he behaved like a cheap lieutenant in a third-rate mob. We will not be unscathed. Even under the best of circumstances, we will not be unscathed. But if one is to take lemons and make lemonade, as the old saying goes, then we must at least recognize the structural flaws that all of this has identified for us. Many of those structural flaws remained hidden throughout 200-plus years of constitutional governance because everybody mutually adhered to some basic standards of conduct. That's clearly gone. That's over. Done. And what we found out is that you cannot trust the Attorney General of the United States to handle something as simple as a prosecution for contempt of Congress, no less. My personal opinion is that even though you've got a corrupt Attorney General, it would probably be beneficial to go ahead and cite scum like Corey Lewandowski and the no-shows, every single one of them, for contempt, dump it all in a big stack on Bill Barr, the prosecution's desk, and then perhaps use, then use his refusal to do his goddamn job as grounds to impeach him. And then someday get down to the business of amending the Constitution so that the Congress can have competent counsel to handle jobs like that and not be left to the tender mercies of a corrupt Attorney General. Just some thinking. Corey Lewandowski says, Jimmy, seemed to be competing with Steffi Miller for the biggest asshole-serving chump. Oh, I think if it's a competition, it's neck and neck. And then I woke up this morning to see a video clip. And, yeah, this is kind of pop culturally, I apologize for that. But I saw a video clip of Sean Spicer on Dancing with the Stars. That put paid to any idea of having breakfast. He was doing some sort of I guess, Latin dance, because he was wearing one of those frilly shirts with the big arms and stuff. I expected him to start yelling Babaloo. But that, for all its vacuous pop culture quality, drove home a point. Sean Spicer, like Corey Lewandowski yesterday, on multiple occasions, stood in front of cameras and simply told lies. Great, big, honking, not even trying to make it sound plausible lies. And he did so on behalf, of course, of Geezer Disgustus. And he's been rewarded because he's not doing it for free. He's been rewarded with a slot on Dancing with the Stars. I'm sure he's also got some other sort of good wingnut welfare job. But he's got a gig dancing. Hey, look, I'm dancing. And so that's what happens when you work for that orange turd laying in a pile in the seat behind the Resolute desk. You get rewarded. You get taken care of. In this case, by some executive at ABC Disney. It is a disgusting level of dysfunction. Under the subject line, Brotherly Love, Ron in Raleigh writes, today, while listening to BBC World News, the Saudi ambassador to the UK was on explaining how the Yemenis are their brothers and they have nothing but love for them, and the reason they are blowing them into red mist is to save them from those dastardly Iranians. With friends like these, who needs enemies? When asked about the Khashoggi murder, he said the investigation was ongoing and that the Saudi legal system will bring the culprits to justice, despite the fact that the prime suspect is walking free and Prince Bonesaw isn't even mentioned. He did say that there were going to be serious reforms in the security services. I guess all that shit can wait until they goad us into a disastrous war for Iran. Yeah. Because the Saudis pay cash. Just like Mexico's still going to pay for the wall someday. Hell, maybe Mexico will pay for us to bomb the snot out of Iran. One lie is as good as another, isn't it? Kyle with a question, is there anything in the Constitution that says that you can't have simultaneous impeachment investigations, hearings of high-ranking government officials and or members of the judicial branch at the same time? I'm asking for a country, or a friend, yes. No, there really isn't. You can have, the way the framers saw impeachment, they expected it would probably happen pretty often. They had a view that the president himself was liable for the fuck-ups of his subordinates and would be liable that way. Jesus, if you think about the Reagan administration, they would have had to impeach Ronald, under that standard, they would have had to impeach Ronald Reagan 157,000 times. Nah, I exaggerate. They only would have had to impeach him every time a member of his administration got indicted or pled guilty. Still, that might have wound up being over 100 different impeachments. Darlene in Connecticut, subject line, I-O-K-I-Y-A-R. Right, Bob and Lady B? It's okay if you're a Republican. Look at how disrespectful Kavanaugh was to the Democrats at his confirmation hearing. Even to Amy Klobuchar, who had done the moderate Republican, moderate Democratic thing, and actually met with him to give him honest consideration. That sexual abuser's now on the Supreme Court. Can you imagine anyone from a Democratic administration doing that to any Republican congressmen and women? Republicans rely on Democrats to be the grown-ups in the room. They pull this shit because they can get away with it, and they know the Democrats will always go by the book and be the nice guys in the end. When it comes right down to it, Nadler didn't have the gonads to hold Lewandowski in contempt when Representative Dave Cicilline from Rhode Island put him on the spot and asked him to. We're in trouble, says Darlene in Connecticut. We are. We're in trouble in so many different ways, it becomes difficult to sort out just where the triage needs to take place. I've got a clip here. There's not really any dialogue. It's mostly just sound that I can't play. Ah! Damn it. Okay, hold on. There's more than one way to get this done. Sorry for the silence. Engineering on the fly. It's so much fun. Let's see here. Sometimes I see things. Hear things. And I just think it might be beneficial from the standpoint of just getting the information moving in the universe. For God's sakes. God, that is annoying. No, that hasn't changed either. Well, shit. What I'm trying to do is use audio out of a different machine that doesn't involve using the squirrely sound card. We'll get there in a minute. Well, they dipped. Ah, success, finally. Hopefully this will have been this will prove to have been worth the effort. This is because Ron wrote in regarding doings in the Middle East. And it won't work in that browser. Let's try something else. Maybe this time. Working. Slower than molasses in January. Yeah, here it is, maybe. This is just another day in the Israeli-occupied territories. I despair of sharing audio like this, but I did look around. And I verified that this did in fact happen. It is real. And I suppose there's somebody out there that, well, never mind. That's kind of straw man-ish. Let's not do that. There's just not a lot to it. It's a dusty, forlorn-looking sort of place. It's a community north of sacred Jerusalem. And it's just a woman, just a Palestinian woman, walking along the side of the road. Well, it's just a Palestinian woman walking along the side of the road, surrounded by big, burly, tough Israeli security forces with body armor and automatic weapons. That's what it is. All that work for that little bit of sound. The video is pretty plain. She is not aiming anything at anybody. But in the occupied territories, you can commit cold-blooded murder of a Palestinian woman. And if anybody says anything about it, you can declare that they're anti-Semitic for criticizing the fascist Israeli Defense Forces for murdering a woman in cold blood. Let's try this again. One shot. And then no less than four gunned up Israeli security people walk up. They've shot her with one round. She collapses to the ground. She attempts to rise briefly and then goes back prone onto the earth. That blood-soaked earth of that horrible, horrible place. And the men gather around her. Eventually, one gets up with it. Oh, she tries to move. And one guy comes up close to her. And kicks away what looks to have been her cell phone. Done, of course, in the name of Israeli national security. And, you know, it's worth remembering that directly or indirectly, we helped pay for the bullet that killed that woman. And we directly support a country that believes in summary executions. I confess, one of the first things I thought was that barring the language being used, it looked like, Texas, Louisiana, Alabama, Missouri, New York. You know, where the police have the power to simply kill somebody because they don't like... because they don't like something about them. It's heartbreaking. And we paid for it to happen. Meanwhile, as I mentioned yesterday, they had an election in Israel, and the psycho Bibi Netanyahu refuses to, or has been refusing, to concede. He pulled a trick out of the old Lester Maddox and George Wallace playbook, deploying extra security forces like those murderers that you just heard, to polling stations in majority Arab areas. And spent the last few weeks of this election campaign screaming, Trump style, that the Arabs did not have the best interests of Israel at heart, and that they would try to sway the election. Israelis. I don't know how you talk about this. The white folks were told to make sure they got out and vote. On the other hand, they posted people who will shoot you as quick as look at you in polling places where mostly brown people voted. There, that puts it. Yeah, I mean it is. It's straight out of the old Southern racist playbook. Because there's just not a hell of a lot of difference. This is the kind of shit that happens to this day. I remember, it happens practically every election. The Republican Party sends out notices telling people that if they have so much as a traffic ticket, they will be arrested if they show up at the polling place. In some states, back before it was easier just to suppress the vote outright, back when we still had a Voting Rights Act, before old Balls and Strikes John Roberts declared that there was no such thing as racism in the United States, some places would allow racist white supremacist groups to sort of anonymously hang out at the polls and just do a little voter intimidation, and various secretaries of state would look the other way. This is the backdrop to everything that's happening in the Middle East. By the way, the Pentagon and the Saudis are trying to are working hard to dummy up evidence to suggest that Iran did the attack on the Abqaiq Saudi installation. Vlad Putin at a meeting of some officials from Turkey, including Erdogan, and some Iranian officials, including, I think, Ali Khamenei, the Ayatollah, joked about how the Saudis might have begun to wish that they had bought some Russian arms instead of American ones, because he said the Turks have bought it and the Iranians have bought it, and we guarantee we've got the best defense systems in the world. And somebody asked Vlad Putin, well, should they buy the S-300 or S-400? And Vlad Putin just laughed and smiled, and the other ones laughed and smiled. And he said, well, that would be for the Saudis to decide. Because this is one of the more embarrassing aspects. And frankly, if you're Bibi, Psycho Bibi over there, you're a little nervous because, we wouldn't want to hurt business, so you're not going to hear a lot about it from the for-profit media here in the new 90 states of Merca, the greatest country in the history of the world on earth, now, today, forever, in the universe under God. But the noble, majestic, serene, gracious, puissant kingdom of Saudi Arabia has a shit ton of American missile defense hardware. And it was absolutely useless as a screen door on a submarine against those Houthi drones. Just got in, never saw them, bombed the shit out of the facility. Assuming that the Saudis didn't do it themselves in order to raise the cost of oil, because I wouldn't put it past those dirtbags. So that kind of means that maybe our missile defense system don't work so good. And given that, you want to bet that there's some Pentagon brass that are shitting their pants right now? Yeah, all kinds of little details out there, that kind of thing. Brother Deacon Asa says, why doesn't Psycho Bibi just go back to his native Belarus and try to wedge himself into a position of power there? After all, Belarusians don't have the best interest of Israel at heart and can't be trusted to run the show. Oh, I think it'd be nice if he just went and lived in a farm in the country somewhere and got to run and play and do whatever he wanted to do all the live long day. So I wanted to get some of that information out there this evening. And again, $10 of Tracy's Fuck Trump Challenge has been met. It'd be nice to meet the other 15 of it. There's some hard fundraising weeks, and this is one of them. The deacons were so depressed, they couldn't hardly get up. They just sat there and stared at their fried chicken this evening. Because for all the crap we take from the deacons, they enjoy being deacons. And about their only job is passing the plate and eating the fellowship hall dinner and smoking in the parking lot with the sinners. And while they do carp and complain, they enjoy their deaconizing. But yeah, we got some prayer meeting Wednesday fun. Oh, brethren and sistren, we do. And what's that, Ron and Raleigh, subject line, Saudis. I referred to them as dirt bags. Ron caught me. Wouldn't they be sandbags? Point taken, Ron. Point taken. But let's do have some prayer meeting Wednesday fun. And by that I mean, let's check in, because why not, for what has become our weekly Moment with Jesse Lee. Yes, Jesse Lee Peterson, the man who doesn't know what he doesn't know, the man who told Andrew Yang to go back to China, the man who said that women who have jobs are daughters of Satan, the man who thinks that everybody but him is a beta boy, because Jesse Lee is, well, he's a man's man. We just don't know which man. Well, Jesse Lee has sorted out, because decades of scientific research, it all comes to nothing. Mr. Finch, it all comes to nothing. All your Miss Mayella, and it comes to nothing. Jesse Lee has sorted out clinical depression. Feche la hockey puck.
A true Christian is never depressed or have suicidal thoughts. You have those when you're not Christians. And so I was thinking, how can he be a man of God and take his own life due to depression or suicidal thoughts?
Because, see, what Jesse Lee's doing here is he's shitting on the family of another Christian minister he had officiated at a funeral earlier in the day, and he got home and just said, nope, can't do it no more, and checked right on out. Jesse Lee was not the only one to shit on that family, because, of course, they're Christians. A number of them jumped out there and said, well, he's burning in hell now, because the Bible done said don't kill yourself. So Jesse Lee declares that they're not really Christians.
Or the crap like that, right? Then I realized after the show yesterday, the reason for that is that there are Christians who believe that you can be born again of God, but still sin. And anyone who sinned accepted it, and they are slaves to those things, right? And so if
now let's bear in mind that sitting, because Jesse doesn't stand, sitting in judgment of people for their human failings, or just judging, sitting in judgment of people for things that aren't failings that he just happens to disagree with, you know, those hot, sweaty, muscular men that he's talking about all the time, sitting in, those aren't sins. No, that's just Jesse doing God's work. This is what makes Christianity so God-forbidden, God-forsaken, if there was one, hateful. And it's a common thread that runs through the, 1900-year history of the movement that grew up around the teachings of a brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and semi-literate itinerant rabbi who taught people not to be so mean to each other. The message did not get through.
If you are, you still sin and call yourself a man or woman of God, you're a liar. The truth is not in you. Christ came that you should not sin once you're born again, right? Because,
by the way, he is wearing a T-shirt with this going on. He's wearing a T-shirt that says, and it's written in dialect. So forgive me, I'm just reading it as it is. He is wearing a T-shirt that says, "Oh, the wall going up." But he doesn't have any sins. He's bigoted against tens of thousands of Christians who want to come here so that their children won't be murdered in their sleep in their home countries. But he's going to lecture the rest of us on what sin is.
Sin is of your father, the devil. And so one of the reasons that you're seeing all these Christians who are depressed and suicidal thoughts and committed suicide and living just like the world is because they're still of the world. Satan is still their daddy, even though they claim to be a Christian.
Who's your daddy? Satan.
Satan is their daddy. And that's why they're living, acting, thinking, and feeling just like the children of the lie. Nothing really changed. Because Christ came that when God sent Christ, that you may have perfect peace on earth.
And, of course, Jesse Lee, it's all just a hustle. And I don't think he's really got the brain power to sort much of this stuff out. But fact is, well, Jesse Lee lives in the eternal hope that Jesus does not come back anytime soon. Because if Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and semi-literate itinerant rabbi, was to come back and see Jesse wearing that "Oh, the wall going up" T-shirt, he would probably pinch Jesse Lee's little old head off, and use it for hacky sack. Brother Deacon Asa noting, with all the millions in religious welfare money that pours into Jesse's lap, this stupid mofo can't afford a $200 de-esser to hook up to his mixing board. Ah, go easy. I can't make the sound card work, Asa. But then again, well, we don't have Jesse Lee's hustle. Hey, thank you, Roberto. Roberto just finished off Tracy's challenge. That's awesome. That means we go from 590 to 540. That is tremendous. Thank you. Now, hopefully, we can get it going from 540 on down and, oh, I don't know, maybe finish off Monday or part of Tuesday. $140 to finish off Monday, $340 to finish off Monday and Tuesday. That's where it stands. Jesse Lee gets under Alexander's skin. That's just bullshit, Alexander says. Anyone, Christian and all otherwise, can fall into a state of depression and off themselves. How do we know that at some point that Jessica's Lisa would come to the dire realization that she's a primo fucking asshole and off herself? Oh, please, Yeshua, allow it to happen. Do it today, Yeshua. Do it now. Do it now. Do it now. Yeah, well, with any of these hustlers, there's always the chance that they will eventually get caught with a man in their mouth. Subject line, Christian suicide, courtesy of Lee in New York. If a person commits suicide, there is a way out. You take the poison and ask God to forgive you. Next stop, Pearly Gates. You might think Jesse Lee might know that. I guess he don't know much about how Christianity works. What he's doing is he's projecting the dire attempt to protect the hustle. He can't have the faithful out there bumping themselves off, because that's how Jesse Lee rolls.
Truth, and that if anyone sins and says that he or she is of God, born again of God, they are a liar. And the truth is not in them.
Oh, this is an interesting trivia point. Subject line, no fucking training. And this is going to be rough on the Southern California contingent of the Horn Family Community Congregation. But Ron and Raleigh says, I just rechecked. Old Jesse Lee attended Los Angeles City College. They do not have a divinity degree. So to my mind, he's talking out of his black ass. Not saying, just saying. Not saying, just saying. Savage. Right. Los Angeles? Tracy, you might... Billable Rick, all y'all, it just... And that's... I just got a message from Tracy. Come the fuck on! And that's before I announced that Jesse Lee is a proud son of the City of Angels. Youch. Yeah, that's got to sting.
For this reason, Christ came, that you might not sin. And when you don't sin, folks, you're not going to have all those issues that the people of the world, of Satan, are dealing with. Really, you're really not, because you are protected from the world once you're born again.
All of this babblicious bullshit because a preacher bumped himself off. Never dawns on Jesse Lee there that maybe the preacher bumped himself off because he had a little more brain power than Jesse Lee does, and he figured out he was in the middle of a really bad hustle. You know, and that's been happening a little bit lately. Not the bumping off part, but the part where people who have had nice livings in the gospel sharp business just got to the point where they couldn't live with themselves anymore doing it. Because if you do have a shred of common human decency, if you do have anything resembling a conscience, it will eventually get to you. that's how we know what we know about people like Jesse Lee or Jim Baker or Jerry Jr. or any of the myriad other hustlers. Last night, I had an extended conversation with Scott in San Diego about that portion of our society, our culture, that seems to have a higher than usual contingent of sociopaths and psychopaths in it. Guess what? Yeah. The religion industry is awash in, at best, morally ambiguous, at worst, outright sociopaths and psychopaths in its ranks.
And that's why God said, be perfect. Well, Christ said, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect, and be holy as he is holy. And perfect and holy.
Hey, Jesse Lee, repeat that for us in the original Aramaic. Yeah, that's not going to happen.
People do not commit suicide. They do not, they are not depressed. They don't deal with depression and all that stuff, all right? Anyone who's dealing with that stuff, Satan is your daddy.
Yeah. I could not agree more. Cynthia writes in and says, hell, Bob, this Jesse Lee is dumber than a sack full of nails. Definitely not the sharpest knife in the drawer. More like bats in the belfry and surely gone fishing. Someone definitely took his marbles away. Well, I guess at some level he makes for good comedy. Too bad it isn't. Sigh. Oh, I know. And every time, you know, the reason we do this on Prayer Meeting Wednesday is so that we can all understand a little bit more about that noisy plurality of people in this country who are ruining it for the rest of us. And they believe what they want to believe. You know, that's an open question. Randy in PA wants to know, does Jesse Lee have Down syndrome or is he just drunk? Well, there was that time that he was videoed doing an interview with somebody at a bar, and behind the bar was bottle after bottle after bottle after bottle of Maker's Mark Kentucky bourbon whiskey. And so that's always led me down that road. I prefer to think he's just liquored up like your average garden variety gospel sharp. Let me, so this next one has a nexus with a couple of different stories. It's one of those things where every now and then, as I've mentioned before, I'll have a story that just sort of sits around and waits a little bit. And the next thing you know, it ties into something. I haven't seen much mention of this in the for-profit media, mainly because so many of us just get sucked into the daily grind, the daily maelstrom of what did Donnie dipshit do yesterday? But this story is not that old. It's not even a week old. It goes back to last Thursday over at DSmog blog. The story is set up in Northwest Louisiana, where it turns out that even though the multimillionaires on the for-profit media somehow haven't noticed, a fracking well blew right the hell up. a blowout occurred. And even as we speak, it's still burning. Somebody probably violated the law to get a drone in the air to get a picture of this stuff, because God knows the gas company didn't want anybody seeing it. The whole thing blew at about dawn on the 30th day of August, the very next day after the well had been fracked. You could see the column of fire blowing into the air from 30 miles away. The flames have died down a little bit, but you can still see it from a mile away. It's operated by GEP Haynesville LLC. And they told the local ABC affiliate, KPVI, they said, "Well, the fire started during flowback operations, but we don't exactly know how." You know, you'd think if you were going to frack for natural gas, you might want to know all the many and sundry ways in which your wells can shoot columns of fire into the air that can be seen from 30 miles a fucking way. But no. And here's the thing. An official with the state government of Louisiana, which is not known for having a particularly vigorous environmental protection department. And in fact, if you look around the South, you'll find in many instances, it's not called environmental protection. It's called environmental quality. For instance, there's an Alabama Department of Environmental Quality. And there are several of those through the Deep South. I'm not sure about Louisiana. And the only way they're going to get the fire out is by drilling another well. God damn, it sure would suck if that thing shot a column of fire into the air that you could see for days from 30 miles away, wouldn't it? That couldn't possibly ever happen. But on a burning planet where climate change is a real hazard, where climate change is the existential crisis of our time, the best guess, and they really are just guessing, the best guess is that that little bastard's going to burn for another month before they can get the fire put out. Now, remember, somewhere there is an accountant for the gas company that operates the frack well who's weeping and wailing and sitting and gnashing his teeth and sitting in sackcloth and ashes because of all the profits they're losing, the holy profit that they're losing because that gas is burning up right quick instead of burning up a little bit at a time with a meter running on it so as people has to pay for it. Oh, they're very sad. An electrician died in a coal mine here in Kanawha County just yesterday or so. He was a certified electrician, and he tied into some voltage that he could not withstand, and he died, and his family is heartbroken, and his community is heartbroken. And somewhere there's a coal company accountant who's also heartbroken because now they're going to have to pay workers' comp. And they're probably going to have to pay a death benefit. And then they're going to have to probably pay for a whole lot of equipment. And they might have to replace some wires. But the one thing they're not worried about is getting another coal mine electrician. Because, well, there's always somebody that wants a job doing something like that. That's the oldest economic model in West Virginia and Appalachia generally. If you go down the mountain here, you can find the Hawk's Nest Tunnel, where hundreds of African American men who had come north to West Virginia in search of work. They worked and they breathed silica dust until they could no longer breathe at all, because the silica dust turned into concrete in their lungs, and they'd come out of that tunnel whiter than the whitest man on the street down in Gauley Bridge. And they'd say, "Boss, I got to take a break. I can't get my breath." And the boss would say, "You take a break. You take a break forever. You're fired, because there's somebody standing right over there who wants the job you don't want to do. Get on out of here." So there's a lot of grief comes along with something like a well blowout. And even if the maggots don't acknowledge it, there's something at work in the wider world. And it's kind of surprising. The Secretary of the United Nations, the Secretary General, Antonio Guterres, is being roundly praised in the world consisting of people who know that climate change is the existential threat to humanity of our era. They're getting ready to have a UN Climate Action Summit. And Secretary General Antonio Guterres has said, if you're still supporting coal, if you're still burning coal, if you don't have a plan to stop burning coal, if you challenge the reality of climate science, don't come. And if you do come, don't expect to be given time to give a speech. So it's going to take place, it's going to start Monday, because, you know, the UN General Assembly is coming into session. The "you don't have anything to talk about" list, "don't bother expecting to make any speeches" statement has been given to Australia, Japan, South Korea, South Africa, all because they're still supporting filthy coal. Brazil and Saudi Arabia have each shit on the Paris Climate Accord, so they don't get to talk either. And, of course, the Trump regime isn't going to get anywhere to talk as well, because, well, Chinese hoax. Over at the Sunrise Project, which is based in Australia, Justin Guay was kind of flabbergasted. He said, "In all the time I've worked on climate change, I've never seen the UN take a powerful stand like this. Secretary General's drawn a bright red line. No new coal plants, and he's serious. This is the leadership we need to address the crisis." Then here's the FAQ for the summit. The summit will focus on tangible climate actions. It will not be a summit of national speeches. Rather, the summit will consist of selected commitments of coalitions of countries, companies, and civil society announcing a range of truly ambitious and credible actions and commitments, as well as any national announcement in line with the Secretary General's objective for the summit. The summit will serve as a public platform, only for leaders, member states, as well as finance, business, civil society, and local leaders from private and public sectors who are ready to mobilize and raise political ambition that will result in enhanced and irreversible commitments to action in national climate plans to significantly cut emissions. Galvanize bottom-up action from cities, regions, civil society, but also the private sector. And Guterres himself said, don't bring a speech. Bring a plan. There were three ways you could get a speaking slot at this session. You could either significantly increase how much emissions will be cut, or a country could make a meaningful pledge to the Green Climate Fund. Or pledge to be carbon neutral by 2050. The United States, Australia, South Korea, Japan, Brazil, Saudi Arabia, all said pass. Over at Vox, David Roberts, a guy that I follow on Twitter, said, in the endlessly formal, scrupulously polite world of diplomacy, this is a big deal. The UN General Secretary is publicly shaming countries that fund new coal plants. This kind of social license or withdrawal of social license matters. And he's right. David Roberts is right. And eventually there will be some sort of bullshit retaliation against the UN for this by the maggot regime and, well, nitwit Nero. How about that? Doesn't sound like Germany is banned. Doesn't sound like Scotland's banned. Ireland, Italy, France, Spain, Portugal, Sweden. Because they're trying to do something. Interesting that I didn't see that China is banned. Could that be because they actually do understand the nature of the crisis, and while they're still burning coal, they're trying to burn less of it? Hard to say. Now, the reason I brought all of this up is because there's a prayer meeting Wednesday, Nexus. You know what you're going to need? You know what you're going to need when the shit really hits the fan with climate change? It's prayer meeting Wednesday, so I imagine you've already guessed. You, by God, are going to need some bucket pudding. Well, even climate change, even if you don't acknowledge it's real, is always an opportunity to run a hustle. By the way, with us being at $540 in the hole, we have a proposed challenge on the table. Anonymously offered the throwback military doctrine of proportional response instead of the current shock and awe challenge of $100. It is good until the beginning of tomorrow evening's program. So, with fingers crossed, we've got about an hour and 45 minutes to knock that challenge out with any luck at all. Throwback military doctrine of proportional response instead of the current shock and awe challenge. And if that could get met, well, where would that take us? 540? We'd be down to 340. we would have we would be done with Monday's fundraising and well into Tuesday's. Awesome. Thank you very kindly. Well, that's just gross. Randy in PA says you can use the bucket pudding in lieu of bacon lube. And by the way, somewhere in some part of the whole Jessica Hahn fiasco, didn't Jim Baker get caught with a man in his mouth? Just check it. I had the wrong channel up because everything's screwed up here.
God's judgment is coming, just as his word said it would come in the last days. Do you understand why is man so livid about global warming?
At least he didn't say turgid. Why is man so livid about global warming? You know, it's really not a livid thing. It's more like we kind of dig being human. Some of us are anthropocentric, and we think that there still might just be a place in the universe for humankind. Livid? Livid implies fury and anger. Well, I guess maybe some of us are that way, too, because the people who are trying to kill you, if somebody's trying to kill you, assholes like Jim Baker will tell you that the right to self-defense is a God-given right. Well, if that's the case, don't those of us who want humanity to go on being a going concern on this planet have a God-given right to self-defense against the oil companies, say? Or the Jim Bakers of the world who deny the reality of the climate crisis? Do countries that acknowledge the climate crisis, whose very existence is threatened, do they have a right of self-defense against climate crisis denying countries like the United States? Poor people are not responsible for the vast majority of the climate crisis. Do they have a right of self-defense against the rich who day in and day out make it harder for those poor people to continue to live on this planet? Is there a right of self-defense against, say, the CEO of that fracking company that is pumping untold gazillions of cubic metric tons of carbon into the atmosphere at their blown-out well in Louisiana? Just in theory, could that dude be dragged out into the street and have his guts stomped out, just have a mud puddle stomped in him for what he's doing to the people of planet Earth? And all for nothing more than fucking money. Oh, no. You've only got a right to self-defense, friends and neighbors, if somebody's coming for your freedom protector penis extension. That's when you get a right to self-defense, sunshine. Livid about global warming. That's where we were, wasn't it?
Why? Why do you think people in America, they want to have people arrested?
Yes.
That don't believe that global warming is what they're saying it is. Do you understand me?
Mm-hmm. Anybody want to tell me where that's happening? I know, California and whatnot. But I don't think anybody's being arrested even in California, Washington, and Oregon for saying climate change is not real. The climate crisis is not upon us. Nobody's being thrown in Obama's FEMA re-education camps. Oh, wait, those are actually concentration camps for brown people, some of whom are fleeing climate crisis. But no, that's not... Either Jim Baker is mistaken, or, and I just want to float this as a vague possibility, Jim Baker is a liar and a biggin. Possible? Possible. Going back to the fracking explosion, Lee in New York says, at least the people know the chemicals used in the fracking process. Yo, wait. That stuff is a corporate secret. Oops. So true. Oh, and I almost missed this. Brother Usher Steve says, hello, Archpope Kincaid. I just got out of a client meeting, which is why I'm late to prayer meeting Wednesday. All right, well, we'll put an asterisk by your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, Steve. Steve says, I'm also putting a $15 challenge on the table. So, now there's $115 in challenges on the table, and if we can just get them responded to, that's $230, and that gets us down to $310. So we've got an anonymous 100 bucks out there, and Steve for 15. Put that together with Tracy's $25 challenge that Roberto and Pinch Hit Midweek Chat Room Utility Moderator Steve from Georgistan responded to, and that would get us all the way from 590 down to 310, and that would be a powerful lick to hit. Because there's about, 1,300 bucks worth of bills just waiting. So thank you, Steve. And remember, the PayPal interface is over at headon.live under contribute. Okay. Now let me check. Regarding right to self-defense, Brother Deacon Asa writes, Lib Talker encourages flock to murder Wall Street CEOs. I didn't say that. I just want to subject them to some psychological testing, and once we find out that they're sociopaths and psychopaths, we put them somewhere where they can't hurt themselves or anyone else. Is that so terrible? All right. Thank you, Cynthia. We're down to 95 bucks to go on the challenges. That meets Steve's and takes a bite out of throwback proportional response, not shock and awe challenge. Thank you, Cynthia, very, very kindly. I think maybe we could do this. It would be wonderful if we did. And what's that? Alexander says, as a man, I've always felt that legally earning my keep defines part of my manhood. I eventually lost all of my worldly possessions in storage and ended up homeless in between being in and out of mental health wards and assisted living facilities where the employees, black, Jamaican, white, Creole, Mexican, Asian, Indian, all treated me like pure shit. Neither did nor said anything to deserve the endless dehumanizing and inhumane treatment that I received from those fake-ass, fuckwad Christians. This in response to Jesse Lee Peterson. Steve in New York wants to know, why do you hate freedom? It's always a good one. God, it never gets old. Thank you to Kitty in Boston. That takes us down to 70. Thank you, Henry. We're down to 20 on the challenge. We got 20 bucks to go on the challenge. And all taken all together, if that 20 comes in, we got it down to 310. And there might even be room to try to knock it down to where we're just dealing with today. Thank you, Henry. Thank you, Kitty. Thank you so very much. And now, even though you desperately don't want this, back to Jim Baker.
Wake up, everybody.
Yes.
Listen to me. This is really, really important, what I'm trying to tell you.
Nihilist.
Anytime people are crazy, insane, angry, and can't forgive, go crazy over something, you better find out what is the root of that.
Mm.
See, they don't even know why they're so upset over global warming. And yet I've studied global warming.
No, you haven't.
And we've had periods of warming before.
You know, like summer. Because Jim Baker, he's a firm believer in that whole line from Proverbs about study to show thyself approved. Of course, that comes from a book that was written by people who were absolutely flummoxed by the concept of the wheelbarrow and believed that light passing through water particles hanging in the air that displayed the colors of the prism was some sort of sign from God. Didn't even realize that was the way to Oz over the rainbow. Because he studied it.
But here's the thing. God says...
Now, bear in mind, when he says God says, that means that there's something in that book that was written by the people who were baffled by rainbows and wheelbarrows that he thinks has something to do with actual verifiable modern science. Lee in New York says, stop it. Stop it, Spock. Stop it, Bob. You know that the right wing will accuse you whether you say it or not. Expect to be accused of Satan worship and getting the deacons and church ladies to follow your lead. Well, it's not for want of trying.
Man says these storms and the things that are coming, God's going to send judgment. He already has. He's already begun. And you don't get it, you're going to get it on tomorrow's broadcast if you listen to me.
Mm. Oh, you're getting it already. Believe me. The people who pile into that studio in Branson, Missouri off of their tour buses. I don't think there's a natural hair color anywhere in there. And apparently they haven't passed out the bucket pudding yet because there's usually a few bowls and plates of bucket yuck that are sitting there that haven't been touched because people went, that's delicious, Jim. No more. Oh, man, that's filling.
Because global warming is the world's excuse that God wasn't in the storm. I'm going to prove
what?
To you God's in the storm.
Oh, God was in the storm? Like Dorian? That was God slaughtering the shit out of a bunch of innocent Bahamians? Oh, boy, I tell you what, that's some fine God they got going there, ain't it? Ooh-wee! That is one loving God. Brother Usher Steve says, I am pissed. Jim Baker and his acolytes are burning my planet, the only one I have, to the ground. Yeah, I'm pissed. And you know, there are solutions to these things. I'm sure Jim likes Miami. Let's just take Jim to, I don't know, South Beach when there's a king tide coming. Not a storm, not a hurricane, just a king tide. Because the streets are under fucking water. And maybe Jim would learn a little about the way tides work. Or we could take him to a South Pacific island. We could take him to the Seychelles. Better yet, the Maldives. And let him have a ground floor hut. What a great idea. Pray the waters away. Find God in the tide, Jim. Yeah, it all gets so confusing. Randy in PA says, no, see, that was the devil's work, and the devil is somehow stronger than God. Yeah, if he was real, I'm guessing he would not like the bad press that he gets off of these people who make him out to be, Yahweh, Jehovah, the great big beard, Yahweh, Jehovah, Allah, God, the great big bearded juvenile delinquent in the sky out to be being such a, what did Chrissy Teigen call it, pussy-ass bitch.
God's in the rain. God's in the wind. It's God's storm. It's God's wind. It's God's lightning.
Yeah. God's bucket pudding, too, I guess. Then there's always the reminder that, and I mean, this guy must be a million years old. I mean, I remember seeing this guy on Sunday mornings, back before extensive cable networks even. I remember seeing him on Sunday mornings before we'd head off to the Baptist church. James Robison. And I guess he's trying to suck up to Jerry Jr., because Jerry Jr.'s got all them billions now. But he's, and so he's coming out and, well, not coming out, although I'm sure that wouldn't be difficult either. James Robison, who has been running this hustle, well, I mean, I'm 56. Been running his hustle for 45 years. God bless him. He's got to be at least 80. Shows no sign of letting up, because evil's a preservative. Here now, what he's trying to do is mount what in religious divinity scholarship type terms is referred to as an apology. That doesn't mean he's sorry. It means he's offering a justification for. And apparently something's tickling him, like maybe wanting to get his hands on some of those billions that Jerry Jr.'s got out there banging around. But he's offering an apology for gospel sharps and hustlers who are doing for Trump, you know, what Newt Gingrich's future wife, who is the ambassador to the Holy See in Rome, used to do for Newt back before they were married.
I prayed for all our presidents.
No, you didn't. Okay, I prayed for all our presidents. Yeah, we know what you prayed about over Obama. The clips are probably still out there. That imprecatory prayer, let his wife be a widow and let his children be without a father. May his days be numbered. Yeah, you prayed.
Some of them have asked me to pray with them. This one asked me to pray with him, travel with him. My wife. He asked us to surround him with prayer.
Did he? Wait, is he saying that Nitwit Nero asked him for his wife? Oh. The goddess of irony. She does stay busy.
Pray for him to be surrounded with wisdom. Tell him about people who are wise. I think that's an answer to prayer. I believe every positive thing that's happening. And I would look Donald Trump, the cabinet, and the Congress straight in the eyes, and I'd say, every great and positive thing that is happening today is happening as an answer to prayers.
So, I guess little children dying in cages on the southern border is a great and positive thing. And apparently James Robison and the other gospel sharp sick psycho freaks must have prayed for that. Every great and positive thing. Name one, you silly bastard. Name one great and positive thing that has come out of this nightmare presidency that began with a talk about American carnage and we all bleed on January the 20th, 2017. We'll wait, James. No, we really won't, but that's a rhetorical device. Seriously. Anybody out there, let me know. Any great and positive things come out of this presidency? Can you name one? Because I'm kind of stymied on it. The Constitution is in a shambles. The executive branch is being run by a bunch of crooks. The Senate is a dysfunctional debating society. Kindergartners starting their first day of class, the first thing they learn aren't letters of the alphabet, but rather what to do when the bad man with the gun comes. But James Robison has prayed for every great and positive thing.
Of committed, sold-out people, God often refers to as the remnant. Those have eyes to see and ears to hear and a desire to do the will of the Father.
The will of the Father. Is it the will of the Father when they're standing there in their little clavering rallies chanting, send her back, or lock her up? They doing the will of the Father there, James? Is it the will of the Father when the when these rat bastards move to make the air harder for children to breathe, make the water dirtier? Is that the will of the Father? Is it the will of the Father that his creation be turned into a filthy, tawdry, poisonous wreck? Because I'm pretty sure if that's the will of your Father in the spirit realm, James, your Father is the devil.
See his blessings on everyone. I believe the positive things that are happening are an answer to prayer. And I believe the willingness for this man to stand up against all the assault and keep trying to do what he believes is best is a miracle of God.
Okay, there's a part that trying to do what he believes is best for his own bottom line, for his own bank account. Was it a positive thing when he wallowed around and put his hands on the orb, James, and quietly acquiesced in helping to slaughter a bunch of innocent men, women, and children in Yemen? How about that, James?
And I believe if we keep praying, he will hear, and he will have people sitting in front of him who will so speak the truth with conviction, convincingly, and with wisdom.
Hold the hell on. He said, I believe if we continue praying, he will hear. I think he's talking about praying to Trump directly. In which case, we have the deification of a God emperor. Holy crap. That's where they are. They're one step away to from well, you know, we kind of already are sacrificing innocent children on an altar to him. So, hello.
And I believe he will respond. We pray. And I think we, listen to me, I think we can witness the greatest spiritual awakening in history. And one of the least likely people, many of you would say, will be used by God to accomplish God's will.
And that's where they always come. Well, you know, he's not a perfect vessel. Nobody's perfect in this world. He's not perfect. But God uses unlikely vessels. Yeah, okay. Jesus. I understand, Brother Deacon Asa. Asa says, I'm a little bit, okay, massively confused by Brother Pastor Minister Convicted Felon Jim Baker's strategery there. Wouldn't he sell more doomsday slop buckets? Oh, if only we had a marketing department here. Horn doomsday slop buckets! Nah. Wouldn't he sell more doomsday slop buckets if he scared the youngins into thinking they need something to eat after the climate change apocalypse? Well, we just didn't get to that part. I only had so much audio there. This is, like I said, there were no bowls of bucket pudding on the tables yet. He hadn't gotten around to the bucket pitch yet. Okay. Jimmy took the challenge. The good thing this presidency has done is showing it's time to wake up. The house is on fire. You know, that's the sad thing about people who are asleep when the house catches on fire. Quite often, they die of smoke inhalation before the fire even gets to them. That's me, Bob Kincaid, little ray of sunshine. Yeah, Randy, you're right. Randy and PA, the Energizer Orb. It keeps going and going. You know, we were joking a minute ago about Lib Talker wants CEOs dragged out into the street, what have you. But there's a certain element of truth. Not in, you know, not in that, but in the idea. Wait, what's this? Ron and Raleigh says, King James Bible, produced by 47 scholars, starting in 1604, published in 1611, 178 years before our Constitution. The scholars had no original source materials to work with. None spoke Hebrew, Greek, or Aramaic, and this is supposed to be the inerrant, inspired word of God. How the fuck do people believe this claptrap? I have Ron sent along a handy-dandy chart of biblical contradictions. That'll make for some light reading after the program. I don't know of anybody working this side of the street who's out there talking about dragging people out and taking vengeance on the people who are trying to kill us. Our side's kind of passive that way.
Oh, you want to kill us? Well, okay. Would you not be real mean about it? I mean, would you talk sweetly to us while you're murdering us?
On the other hand, however, that stock in trade among the White Wing. Ah, shit. Breaking news. New York Times reporting. An image of Justin Trudeau wearing brown face makeup at a party in 2001 has thrown the Canadian Prime Minister's re-election campaign into turmoil. How hard is it not... you'd be surprised how hard it is for white people not to do this. I'm neither justifying Justin nor making light of it, but I'll say this much. There are skincare masks out there. This is not an excuse. That are black as the depths of space. Honest to God, these masks, you paint them on your face, and they will absorb. I swear to God, I think they absorb exterior light. I know this because I've seen my kids use them. I've seen my wife use them. And I remember looking at them going, couldn't they come up with another color? Green, yellow, purple, pink. Because it makes doing blackface real easy. I mean, they're not marketed as, hey, this is a mask to be photographed stupidly doing blackface. No. But it's probably easier now than it was in 2001, or which kind of says something about being willing to go to those lengths to accomplish one's stated goal. But I guess that's gonna that'll rock the Canadian world for the foreseeable future. And as Ralph Northam showed, it's all in how you and you know, the governor of the state of Alabama, it's all in how you handle the uproar. But God damn, white people, please. Now, back to the eliminationist rhetoric of the right wing. Many of you, those of you in perhaps the Great Northwest, are familiar with a guy named Lars Larson. He's nationally syndicated, but he's particularly well known in the Great Northwest, and he's a real freak. But Larson had somebody on his show, a guy named Coalfield, to discuss his plans for eliminating anti-fascists. It's safe to say Lars Larson is a fascist. And he invited a fellow traveler on to talk about how best to accomplish the murder of people who oppose fascism. Now, this isn't religious stuff. This is just, you know, ripped from the pages of the headlines.
But you said you would wipe out Antifa. I want to know what you meant by that.
I swore an oath to defend the Constitution from all enemies, foreign and domestic. There's a group of people that are trying to dismantle the Constitution, and they want to kill us. Like, I'm trying to protect freedom.
Did you?
Well, there is a group of people who are trying to dismantle the Constitution. We saw one of them in action before the House Judiciary Committee just yesterday. That's not who these clowns have in mind, however. The people actually damaging the Constitution, they're okay with it. People who show up because they believe that, and this really is one of the operative philosophies behind Antifa, anti-fascism. They hold the position that in early 1930s and late 1920s Germany, if more Germans had stood up to and not tolerated the Nazis, World War II might never have happened. And so Antifa exists on that operational philosophy, and so wherever the fascists show up, whether they be the Proud Boys or whether they be Stormfront or Patriot Pride or Patriot Prayer or any of these uber ultra white wing organizations,
they're going to be there in case the fascists decide to channel their inner bully boys, because that is what fascists do. But remember also that fascists are chicken shits. They don't like to pick. They don't like to be opposed by anyone who can in turn oppose them. And so consequently, they prefer to play on a tilted playing field where they've got the cops on their side and they can do things like run cars over peaceful protesters like Heather Heyer. Again, and he's over at Daily Coast now, our good friend David Nywert documents this relentlessly. But any good propaganda campaign, any good disinformation campaign, has to begin in opposite world. And so this clown, Coalfield, first he waves the bloody shirt and says that he was in the military. Shane Coalfield, among other things, had his guns confiscated by the FBI because of his stated desire to commit, you know, murder. So we get this this upside down, backwards, reverse world bullshit about how Antifa is the real danger, when in fact, if there were no fascists, there would be no Antifa. I mean, that's just plain and simple, and it goes downhill quickly from there.
Mean that you would? Did you mean that you would kill Antifa members?
Only if they start killing us.
Well, but would you only kill the ones who are at that moment attacking you, or would you just go out and kill Antifa? You said you have a detailed plan to do this. What is the detailed plan to wipe out Antifa?
What is the detailed plan?
Yeah, what is it?
Okay. First, veterans join.
Okay, so just to be clear, we can tell from the tone of this guy's voice that he is, in fact, a neo-maxi Zoom dweeby. And would probably run at the first smell of cordite. But they're all ever so butch, these fascists. As Reverbo points out, sadly but resolutely, this country tolerates and even celebrates stupid. You, my good friend, have said a mouthful. And that can apply across the board, whether it's Jesse Lee or Jim Baker, or, Lars Larson, Shane Coalfield, on and on and on.
And Antifa's social media pages and groups, and get name of most active members of social media, along with getting the arrest records from rallies, and write down all the names they see, as well as use arrest records. The veterans will use background check programs to find home addresses of all the members of Antifa. Using the intelligence they have gathered, the veterans will take a map of the cities with members of Antifa are known to live there. Grid overlays will be placed over the maps of the cities. The veterans will be broken down into squads. Each squad will be assigned its own grid and given a list of names and addresses in their assigned grid square. There's an app called Route For Me that can be downloaded on the phone with the GPS. It is an app that allows delivery truck drivers to enter into more than one address, but unlimited addresses, and the app plot turn by turn the best route for the delivery truck driver to use to deliver the packages. The veterans would use Route For Me to find the most expedient route to hunt down the most violent members of Antifa in their beds at night until every one of them was gone in every city in America, if needs be.
You getting this? He's talking about murdering people in their sleep. That's not self-defense in any civilized or semi-civilized legal jurisdiction. This is just a plot to commit murder. on a massive scale. He's laying out here in graphic terms a broad conspiracy that one may safely presume has already begun to get legs, because he's talking about the veterans, the veterans, the veterans. So this tells us that they are people like him are already infiltrating the military of the United States. Why do you think it was that the officers, the Air Force officers, who got such regal treatment at that bedbug hotel in Turnberry, Scotland, that belongs to Donald Trump, why wasn't it them who dropped the dime on that bunch of illegal bullshit? Arguably, those officers are in violation of something somewhere along the way within the Uniform Code of Military Justice. It should probably, their participation in that scam should probably cost them their commissions. And they should be cashiered and dishonorably discharged. Because they had to know that what they were doing was wrong. $180,000 into Donald Trump's pocket, wealth transfer from taxpayers who pay to support a great big bloated Pentagon bureaucracy. But the ones who kept their silence, why would we not think that perhaps they're part of this horse shit? Under the subject line, anti-Antifa, James says, get the net, ready the rubber room. Yeah, this guy does sound squirrely. But he's the one who's willing to talk about it out loud because he's publicity hungry. If he's talking about it, others are too. And the ones who are serious about it know better than to go on a goddamn radio show and brag about it.
Well coordinated night, the losses for Antifa will be catastrophic.
So you are planning to hunt down and kill members of Antifa?
No.
Sounds like that's what you just described.
You asked me what the plan was.
Yeah, you wrote the plan, right?
Yes.
Do you plan to use the plan?
No.
So I have a plan, but I don't plan to use the plan. You almost want to feel sorry for the poor bastard conducting the interview, but you get over it pretty quick.
I created a nuclear deterrent.
Nuclear?
A nuclear deterrent. What does that mean?
It means that the biggest reason conservatives haven't gathered together and formed, like, groups is because they just haven't. Like,
no, but what do you plan to do with the plan you wrote up? Do you plan to enact that plan?
No.
You don't plan to go out and kill anybody. But you just described a detailed plan to find the home addresses of Antifa members and then, as you said, hunt them down. Once you've hunted one of them down, what do you plan to do to that Antifa member?
Well, if they're killing us, like, at least we have a plan to stop them from killing us.
You know, it probably goes without saying, but I should mention at this point that nobody's out there killing the fascists. A few of them may get their polo shirts a little mussed, but they're the ones who wait outside conservative club meetings and beat the snot out of other human beings. They're Nazis. It's what Nazis do. And meanwhile, we are beholden and obliged to tolerate this kind of vicious criminality, because First Amendment.
But you said hunt them down and find them asleep in their beds. What do you plan to do with them when you get to their home and they're asleep in their beds?
Well, in this situation, if they're killing us.
No, at the point where he's asleep in his bed, he ain't doing anything to you except snoring. So what would you plan to do to that Antifa member when you arrive at his home in the dead of night and he's asleep in his bed?
Well, according to the plan, it would be kill.
You'd kill them?
According to the plan.
Well, do you plan to carry out that plan?
No, not at all.
Then why would you write it up?
Because I sent a letter to Dan Crenshaw
begging
for federal intervention because the threat of Antifa was so great.
Sergeant Kofi.
Sergeant! He made it to sergeant. Jesus. Standards have diminished since Sergeant Carter got his stripes. Jimmy says, dude sounds like he's 12. I got to thinking about that quivering voice. You know, he may have been doing something else at the same time he was doing the interview. I'm not going to say any more than that. Alt-right, subject line. Ron in Raleigh says, when the special on the Charlottesville march was done, the reporter found that a great many of the fascists were ex and active military. There are active cells of racist fascists in the military, and oddly enough, when told about it, the military officer corps shuffled their collective feet and did precisely not jack shit. They probably know better than we just how extensively this goes. And it is deeply, deeply troubling. And notice the mention there of Dan Crenshaw. Dan Crenshaw is the eye patch wearing darling of the fascist movement. Oh, they think he's real live, sure enough, sure to Jesus patriot. Because he talks a lot about Antifa. In other words, he participates in the hysteria. Now, this is the 18th. That was 6 days ago. Now, why would you even... presumably, someone had to communicate with Sergeant Coalfield. Somebody had to communicate with him before that interview ran. Somebody had to know, because, you know, this isn't some guy self-producing a live radio program. He's got staff. He's got support. He's got all kinds of infrastructure. If he wants to get an interview, he doesn't have to spend 3 days trying to get it. This is the for-profit media. Why would you bring him on the air? What legitimate news purpose does it serve? And you have to understand, the fascists listen to Lars Larson a lot. What was his motive? Because I guarantee double T you, the motive was not journalism. Oh, hell no. John writes in, formerly of Oregon, now in North Dakota. Lard Larson, occupation, fascist. At one time, he was just another conservative blowhard with a microphone. Now he gives on-air platform to members of Patriot Prayer, the Proud Boys, and other right-wing scum. He had a woman on who was fired from the Clark County, Washington Sheriff's Department for wearing a Proud Boys shirt. Made her sound sympathetic. take off the summon, that's what it was. This is one thing I am not missing by having left the Pacific Northwest. Thank you, John. I appreciate the background. By the way, if you want, if you'd like to be part of the conversation, the lines are, and that would be lines, not line, lines. Let me double check here. The stress line is live. In a minute, I guess. And so, too, is the Skype line, Bob Kincaid Horn. Getting right to the heart of the matter, Todd in South Carolina, Stan, points out, Shane Coalfield sounds like an incel imbecile. Well played on that. Incel imbecile. Yeah, he does. Hence the, I think I know why his voice is quivering. Meanwhile, Alexander describes him as this Barney Fife-sounding motherfucker. Also reminds me of Phil Hendry's Jay Santos character of the fictional Citizens Auxiliary Police. Little pissant motherfucker that couldn't bust a grape in a food fight. That's a... couldn't bust a grape in a food fight. Shit goes down, he'd run in the opposite direction like a little... Yes, bitch, fuck out of here. Yeah, I'm afraid Chrissy Teigen has injected a phrase into the lingua franca that is not going to go away anytime soon. So, yeah, the stress line is connected if you'd like to get involved. 844-843-4676, 844-THE-HORN, Bob Kincaid Horn on Skype. And then there's that. Brother Deacon Asa points out, doesn't this dweeb realize that by revealing his diabolical plan on the radios? It's the use of the diabolical that made it art. His diabolical plan on the radios. He's giving Antifa the blueprint for hunting down white nationalists. They ain't none too bright, are they? Atne ute aitbre. If you one what I eat me on the adio ray. Couldn't bust a grape in a food fight. That's pro quality. Damn. Yeah, Brother Deacon Asa, Alexander's digging your usage of the of diabolical. But they're both Phil Hendry fans, Asa and Alexander. By the way, says Asa, Alexander's wrong. Sergeant Coalfield sounds like R.C. Collins' 17-year-old cadet from Bradley Military Academy. Oh, this is beautiful. This is just beautiful. And while, you know, while we can have a laugh at their expense, it is worth our effort to at least remain cognizant of how godforsaken, creepy, and homicidal they are. Sergeant Coalfield may sound like a neo-maxi zoom dweeby, but again, there are people who probably aren't. I mean, we know for a fact that they're ready to kill. And they're not just ready, they celebrate their readiness. This past Saturday, some of the gun humpers were celebrating Guns and God Appreciation Day. And they wanted millions of Americans to demonstrate their unwavering support for the Second Amendment and their love and appreciation for God. And it's all, of course, run by a tax-free Dodge called Constitutional Rights PAC. And it featured the Deplorable Choir. And they came up with a new song. Again, the hockey puck, while optional, is advisable. The Deplorable Choir, Beto Can't Have Our Guns.
Yes, so y'all,
Is that going?
Is it going?
No.
Okay.
I don't know.
Click that right there.
We are,
There.
Now you're going live.
Starting stream. Okay,
we're live. Hey.
So y'all, we have written we are promoting Gods and Gun Appreciation.
And by the way, they're all wearing their MAGA hats, and these three women in MAGA hats are wearing shirts that, well, let's say the design is oddly placed. And it features a pair of semi-automatic pistols pointed at each other across their chestises.
Appreciation Day. It is on
God
Saturday.
And guns, not yeah. Gods and
God
guns.
God and Gun Appreciation Day. It is on Saturday. As we know, the Democratic debates are on right now, and there is a wild gun grab for everybody. So actually, today, we wrote this song. And we're singing it live because it's like very rough.
Still in the works.
Yeah. I sometimes accidentally start harmonizing. Sometimes
really
I forget the words.
Don't know the words, but we want to get it out.
But
there.
We want everybody to know that gutting.
Well, you know, when harmonies are outlawed, when accidental harmonies are outlawed, only outlaws will have accidental harmonies. Meanwhile, there's some poor dude in the back with an acoustic guitar.
Guns and God Appreciation Day is on Saturday, and you can go to gunsandgod.com. And also,
yep.
Val, show them your shirt.
Oh yeah,
you can
get the
Guns and God shirt too.
Yeah.
So
these are so cute, right?
Yeah, they're actually on our website. But we have to let everybody know that we are staunch supporters of the Second Amendment, and ain't nobody gonna take our guns. And it's not the, the gun that pulls the trigger, and that's what this song is. So, remember, we might even have to start over.
You know, women are welcome in the United States military now. They are all free to sign up and go and fight for freedom over there in Saudi Arabia against those gun-grabbing Iranians and those Houthi rebels. Yeah, probably not. And whoever designed those t-shirts laughed all the way to the bank.
Y'all, hit it.
Y'all.
Guns don't kill people. Okay, start over. Sorry, Steve, I told you.
We wrote it today,
y'all. Wrote this song.
Yep.
Go.
It's raw, y'all.
No. Remember the strum.
Guns don't kill people when people love people.
This has got to be a parody.
Guns don't need Jesus. Our fathers in their homes. Guns don't take prayer away and leave kids on their own. Guns don't raise boys and teach them to be men.
This can't be real.
They don't pull the trigger when a heart is at its end. Oh, but people do. When people love people, ain't no place for hate. Fathers come home and our children are safe. God gave us love to save us from evil. And guns don't kill people when people love people.
It's only fair to warn you that this goes on for another 5 minutes. So let's put it this way. We got $20 to go to finish the challenge that's presently on the table. If that lands, we'll give it a minute or two, internet latency and everything. I won't play the rest of this. Kyle noting, holy fuck, the right wing has become a parody of a parody, and they're the ones who are somehow in charge of the fucking executive and judicial branches. Oh my God, we are so fucked. Yeah, and you've only heard the first verse. There's more, I promise. We'll just sort of wait here and check in on some family values republicanism. Let's go to Pennsylvania, shall we? Mm-hmm. Let's check in with State Senator Michael Folmer, F-O-L-M-E-R. You remember back in 2018 when there was a grand jury that released a report that detailed to a horrifying degree of granularity the long history of child sexual abuse in the Catholic dioceses of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania? Well, when that happened, there in the Pennsylvania legislature, a bill was proposed that would offer a tolling of the statute of limitations for child sexual abuse. Because the way it stood, anybody over 30 couldn't sue over the sexual abuse that had occurred in their childhood, which meant that they could not get compensation for things like therapy, a lifetime's worth of therapy. And so the bill, while it had considerable support, well, the Republican Senate in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania refused to even consider it because the Republican Pennsylvania Senate had more concern for the Roman Catholic Church than it did for the victims of the Roman Catholic Church. One of the Republicans who cared more about the Roman Catholic Church than they did about Roman Catholic children who were sexually abused was the aforementioned 63-year-old State Senator Michael Folmer. Well, today, Michael Folmer was arrested. He was arrested for possession of child pornography on his cell phone. Among other things, he's been charged with sexual abuse of children and possession of child pornography and criminal use of a communication facility. As of airtime, he had not yet resigned. This is who those family values Republicans always seem to be. Yeah, I saw the headline on this, and I didn't even have to open it to know that it was a good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, gundamentalist, ammosexual, Christian, Republican who had been nailed. Probably ought not use the term nailed. No. You got to wonder who's going to replace him. James in Illinois is trying to do his part. We're $10 away from not having to hear any more of the gun song by the Deplorable Choir. You know, every time I see one of these maggots making fun or making use of the word deplorable, hearkening back to what Hillary Clinton said back in 2016, it reiterates for me just how unutterably stupid they are. Hillary didn't necessarily say that these three millennial moms, one of whom is holding a little toe-headed kid on her lap, were deplorable. She said about half of Trump's supporters were decent people. But the other half were deplorables. James says, I'll give you 10 to make it stop because people make people make people. Well, we're only 10 bucks away from it stopping. We can do this. Yes, this is hostage taking. This is wrong. But damn. We were also in a $590 hole when we started this program. And that's not well, that's not a good thing if we want to keep this all going. So while we wait to see if we're going to hear another verse of Beto Can't Have Our Guns. By the way, it's not just the Deplorable Choir who says Beto can't have their guns. My senior senator, Joe Manchin, announced today, well, Beto, oh, damn, Randy pointing out, okay, Bob, you just gave a Bob scream. You're now disqualified to be president. Well, to be fair, that was not a Bob scream, that was a James scream, because he put that in the message. Maybe it doesn't count if it's scripted. But Joe Manchin said, you can tell Beto he can't have my guns. Not all Democrats think like him. God, Joe is bad with this. Dumbass Joe is the one who has said that no self-respecting hunter goes in the woods with an AR-15 or an AK-47. Joe said that, not Beto. Damn. But here's the funny part, because again, the coded message for the Horn family communication. Joe Manchin is atne ute aitbre if you one what I inne. Because the thing is, Joe doesn't even have an AR-15. He does not own an AR-15, neither does he own an AK-47. And so he would not be part of any mandatory buyback program that would be contemplated under what Beto O'Rourke has been talking about. See how it works? Yeah. Jesus, Joe. Joe's the one who put forward the background check bill. And that's probably part of why he isn't running for governor of the state of West Virginia. Because this place was plastered with online ads saying, tell Joe Manchin he can't have our guns. Sometimes the stupid just gets so fucking tiresome around here. But I have good news. Thanks to Darcy and Stephen, there will be no further playing of the deplorable choir. And what's more, that means that the two challenges have been met, Steve's and our anonymous challenge. So let's see. And we've got only $300 to go to come even with fundraising. So we've knocked down 290 bucks. That's awesome. Thank you. Thank you very kindly to Darcy, and thank you to Stephen, and thank you to James, all of whom saved you from another chorus of the deplorable choir. And I'd like to thank the deplorable choir for being awful enough to provide for that moment of light-hearted blackmail. Still prayer meeting Wednesday, though. Let's go to Oklahoma. At the First Assembly of God in Blackwell. It's the story of 23-year-old Sean Cormie. Who was harangued by his mother after he came out a year or so ago. And he introduced his significant other to his family. And they were good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual Christians who were members of the First Assembly of God in Blackwell. And, well, that's the church that young Sean Cormie grew up in. And Mama, you know, Mama can always guilt you into anything. And so they kept saying, come to church, Sean. You can bring your boyfriend. Come on. Come on to church. Just make Mama proud. And so Sean said that's exactly why they went to church. They wanted to make his Mama proud and get her off their backs. And it got bad. It's Oklahoma. You know how it's going to go. It was back on September 8th, and they went to services, and at the end, where the altar call happens, well, that's when the weird cranked up. Hey, thank you, Sally. Sally just took us down below the 300 mark. We're down to 275 now. Thank you, Sally. Thank you so very, very much. This is tremendously helpful to knock some of this out. Thank you, Sally. Like I said, there's an altar call at the end with every head bowed and every eye closed. You know the drill. So they specifically called Sean Cormie and his boyfriend, his partner, Gary, down front. And 12 to 15 members of the congregation begun gathering around them, praying at the top of their lungs, screaming. And the preacher starts hollering about, it is a sin! It is an abomination. You need to realize, wake up and see it for a sin. and Gardner and Cormie get up to leave because there's really no point to sitting around and subjecting yourself to that kind of filth. They let Gardner go because I guess he wasn't a member of a church family. But then it got even weirder. The hooting and the hollering and the screaming and the shrieking. It kept on. They eventually took to speaking in the tongues. Shambalabaliba, mom leshma, can they put a loop? Is he black? Hamana, hamana, hamana. Ooh, ee, ooh, ah, ah, ting, tang, walla, walla, bing, bang. One of them punched him in the face. Sean Cormie said, they hold me down, they pin me down, and I'm crying. And the Holy Spirit just comes through me, and they keep speaking in tongues and praying over me. I was just crying, mercy, mercy. And when he got up, he made for the door, and his first stop was the Blackwell, Oklahoma Police Department. Good luck, Sean. The Blackwell Police Department will tell Oklahoma's News 4 that the case is under investigation, but it ain't gonna come to nothing. So now young Sean Cormie of Blackwell, Oklahoma, is getting death threats, or threats, from perfect strangers, telling him he needs to drop the case. His family is leaning on him to let it go. Sean, bless his heart, you know what that means in Southern, said, I couldn't believe it. A church of all places would show hate and not love. Sean, son, it's an Assembly of God church. Lad, you weren't among the Episcopalians. That weren't no Unitarian fellowship you were going to. Those were the worst kinds of evangelical fundamentalist amosexuals. But they got a little bit of a liberal streak because your Assemblies of God will let the women folk be preachers. So the pastors at First Assembly of God of Blackwell, Oklahoma, Stan, are Bill and Tammy McKissick. And they issued a statement. On behalf of First Assembly, we have been asked by the media to respond to the allegations that have been made. This began as a family matter that escalated. Our church would never condone the restraint of any person unless they were engaged in violent activity. There is much more to this incident, and we are cooperating fully with law enforcement to hopefully bring all of the facts to light, as a rush to judgment is not in anyone's best interest. This poor, 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 tormented, confused young man. Still said, you know, after the inherent threat of there's much more to this incident. We'd never restrain a person unless they engaged in violent activity. Poor Sean said, I love the pastors with all my heart. But what they did was totally wrong, and I want some kind of consequences out of it. I want it to be heard and known because it really saddens my heart. This is the part that it will break your heart. I mean, this calls for some It Gets Better or somebody to give him a plane ticket out to hell from Blackwell, Oklahoma, give the young man a fighting chance somewhere that it's not quite so horrifying to just live one's authentic life. Because speaking to Oklahoma's News 4, young Sean Cormie said that he does believe homosexuality is a sin, but he can't be forced to be something he's not. The young man said, "I'm full-fledged gay. You can't change it. It's my nature. I'm born that way, so let it be." But meanwhile, he still believes that he is engaged in sin. See, that is how insidious fundamentalist religion is. Once it gets its hooks in you, it's deadly damn hard to get them back out again. He knows who he is. He worked up the courage to come out in a little shithole like Blackwell, Oklahoma. And that probably takes a hell of a lot more courage than most people even know. And son of a gun, he still feels like he's engaged in sin simply for being the human being that he believes a loving God created him to be. How much more heartbreaking can that story get? You just want some... You just hope maybe there's an elder member of the gay community who can say, "Son, it's all right. It's okay, and no, you're not a sinner." Maybe an Episcopalian priest or a Unitarian minister can explain it to him, can explain to them that these people in the First Assembly of God don't know shit from Shinola when it comes to the actual contents of their so-called holy book. I can only hope the very best for the young man, and the inherent threat of the church telling lies about him is utterly sickening. They punched him in the face, for Christ's sakes. And they're not, you know, they're that statement from the church didn't exactly amount to a full-fledged denial, now, did it? Our church would never condone restraint unless. So that's kind of an admission that they did what he said they did. And then there's the idea of forcibly subjecting to someone to your violent prayer. But Oklahoma's just north of Texas, of course. And when I saw this story, I was immediately reminded of a case years ago coming out of Texas, wherein a young woman who had been held down and subjected to an exorcism, which this kind of was, she had been held down, she'd been restrained, she'd been tied up, she'd been beaten. And she was a minor at the time. And when she finally got reached her majority and was able to sue, she sued that church. And if I recall correctly, at the lower court level, she won and got a judgment against the church for the battery, that the civil battery that they perpetrated upon her, in addition to kidnapping, false arrest. These are all civil torts, not just criminal. And the good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, gundamentalist, ammosexuals on the Texas Supreme Court got hold of the case and said, case overturned, judgment vacated, suing a church for forcibly restraining, kidnapping, and beating a child, forcing a church that did all that to pay damages for having done it, violated the First Amendment rights of that church. You want to bet they feel the same way in Oklahoma, Stan? Because I'm pretty sure they do. I agree with you, Arnold. Arnold said these people are lower than criminals. They are the scum of the earth. Arnold adding, there is Arnold says, you do all that fake God bullshit too good. You must have had a rough childhood. Yeah, there were parts of it that were rough. But the church part of it wasn't. Oh, no. It's all full of love and Christian harmony. And then you wonder where the music director and his friends went, and you find out they've started a brand new church of their own out in one of the subdivisions because there was a schism in the church, maybe not a schism so much as jism, when the said choir director or whatever got all jiggy with the pastor brother minister's wife. But yeah, I had plenty of time to hear this stuff. And it unfortunately, well, it's like when you pull that cabinet door out and you're not paying attention, or somebody says, hey, and you turn your head and you pull the, and it whacks you in the noggin real good. Your first thought is, that's going to leave a mark. Well, the same thing happens with organized religion. It just seems to me, it feels a little more toxic when it's done with a southern accent. Arnold adds, there is no love in the modern church, none. Even the fucking Catholics tell you to go out and conquer at the end of the Mass. Onward, Christian soldiers, baby. Hell yeah. Then down in Opal, speaking with a southern accent, the folks at Opelika High School, the young'uns there, they love them some Jesus. Well, they were using the loudspeaker at their football games to pray. And that's illegal. When it's a public school, that's a violation of the Establishment Clause. And the Establishment Clause is part of the Constitution. There's kind of a middle ground. People are free to pray as much as they want to do, silently on their own. That way nobody's forcing them to pray in a certain way. You can imagine them there at Opelika High School if all of a sudden somebody over the PA system hollered, Aloha, snack bar! And started wailing away. And everybody was supposed to unroll a rug and figure out which way Mecca was. You can imagine the shit storm that would immediately materialize hurricane-like right over the stadium there at Opelika High School. I know where Opelika is. But students were praying over the loudspeakers. And so the Freedom From Religion Foundation sent a gentle note to the school and said, you know, that is unconstitutional. And the school district said, well, you know, you're probably right. And so they said they'd have a moment of silence instead. Problem solved, right? No, instead the for-profit media has turned it into a bunch of bullshit. And said that that the school kids decided to pray anyway to annoy the atheists. Yeah, no shit. The horrible, horrible imitation fake bad journalist comes from WRBL-TV, an affiliate of the Tiffany Network, CBS, and they wrote that a national group who wants to stop prayer at Opelika football games will not be successful, at least not completely. The foundation likely didn't count on students praying anyway. So the kids, instead of having a moment of silence, decided to scream the Lord's Prayer, the Paternoster, at the top of their adolescent lungs. Students say they will not let a Wisconsin-based organization tell them how to run their school. Jesus, jumping crud. God. Cynthia with a note. Oh, my. I grew up in a fire and brimstone church, and having that crap drilled into me as a transsexual hiding in fear, I could have easily committed suicide. Believe me, I thought of it a lot. And eventually, growing out of that crap and becoming an atheist was the best thing I ever did. That and becoming my true self. Fuck religion. Hear, hear, Cynthia. Hear, hear. And I will say, and on behalf of the entire Horn Family Community Congregation, we're awfully glad you did. Thank you. So there's just a few minutes remaining in the program. And we certainly have, I think, done an adequate job of doing the whole prayer meeting thing. But I got one more. Because they can't resist, these goons. They can't resist going for a good blood wallow. This, of course, involves Mark Taylor, the firefighter prophet, who's running a hustle based on a movie that was produced by Jerry Falwell U. You know, Falwell U, F-U. The Falwell U fighting hypocrites, flaming hypocrites, I don't know. Hey, thanks, Ralphs. Thanks for jumping in. That takes us down to 265. That's big. Thank you, Ralphs. Thank you very much indeed. I'm still trying to figure out. What's that, Todd? Stop. Cease and desist. Oh, Todd's had all he can stand. He can't stand no more. Sorry, Todd. I'm still trying to figure out the nexus between Christians and guns. We know from the deplorable choir there. No, I'm not going to play it. I'm going to be true to my word. It's not to say I won't come back to it tomorrow. I'll try not to. A couple named Alan and I'm not making this up. Alan and Francine Fosdick, because thank you, Goddess of Irony. Wait a minute. Duck Dodgers in the 24th and a half century. Wasn't he in search when he ran into Marvin Martian? Wasn't he in search of the planet of the mysterious planet X, which was the only known source in the universe of Alunium Fosdick, the shaving cream molecule? Isn't it? Somebody better check. Alunium Fosdick, the shaving cream molecule. Firefighter Prophet asks Lee, that'd be a great skill if it existed. The fire department could be alerted to fires about to start. Yeah, so the firefighter prophet goes on this weird tax-free Dodge hosted by Alan and Francine Fosdick, the shaving cream molecule, to tell everybody to get a gun for Jesus.
Baal's food source. Baal is a very violent entity, and it feeds off the blood of the innocent. If you don't know who Baal is, go do a study. Baal is the second in command on Satan's triune. You know, when you talk about Jezebel and all these other people, they all fall underneath Baal's command. That's the way I look at it. You have to know the command structure.
Well, that may be how he looks at it, but he's an idiot. What Baal was one of the gods of the ancient Levant. There were a bunch of them.
So, but his food source is running dry, which is why they're so hard fighting this, not for Roe versus Wade to come down. Now, here's what people need to start looking for. We all know the Red Cross is corrupt.
What? Edith? Huh? Oh, I think he's confusing Baal with Huitzilopochtli. Maybe they're the same guy. But Huitzilopochtli had to be fed human blood so that the sun would keep on being hot. Yeah. Right?
Yeah. And they've been, you know what I mean? They're into all this, all right?
Absolutely.
And so even Q's called them out. And so
Q,
when you look at the Red Cross, and what the Lord's been showing me is that their food sources are drying up. They are literally grabbing people down here in Hillsborough and Pinellas County.
He's in Florida.
Grabbing people in broad daylight.
Oh, my gosh.
These human traffickers are. Why? Because their food source is drying up. Mm. This is why I'm telling people we're entering into one of the most dangerous phases of this fight right now. And, you know, I'm a heavy-duty Second Amendment guy. I've hunted and fished my whole life. I'm an outdoorsman. I tell people, I don't care if you're Christian or not. If you don't have a concealed weapons permit, you need to get one.
You need to
learn how to use a weapon, and you need to be carrying it right now because this is a very dangerous time we're entering into, and it'll get cleaned up. It's not saying walk in fear. You just prepare. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But look for, at some point, I believe what the Lord's been showing me, look for the blood banks to go on a massive drive.
Wow.
You know, I haven't heard anybody say wow like that since the last time I was hanging out with some older Gen Xers who hadn't smoked weed in a while. Wow. Yeah. There's going to be a big drive for blood because God told him so. But God didn't tell him why, him being the firefighter prophet and all. God didn't tell him why. Usually there's only a big drive for blood when there is some sort of massive disaster that requires transfusible blood.
So what this evil prick is doing is trying to make sure that the next people who are affected by an outbreak of Second Amendment Christian freedom don't have the life-saving blood available to them to help them survive the outbreak of Second Amendment freedom. That's some religion, that religion of the Prince of Peace. Damn. And the idea that, well, the Red Cross is out there just picking up folks on the street because they... Oh, God. Deplorable choir? Asks Billable Rick. Bob. Take that, Ron and Raleigh. What does that term refer to? Are the members of the choir composed of Trump's one well-behaved African-American at one of his rallies and the two or three women of color who exclaimed he's going to build that wall? Perhaps you could play it for us. Just asking for a friend. No. I tell you what. I'm not going to do it tonight because I made a solemn promise because we knocked down a good bit of fundraising. We're down to only $265 to go. We're only $65 from catching up with yesterday. But so I can't do it tonight. I won't do it tomorrow. But maybe, just maybe, we'll get the second verse on Friday on the front porch, because that's when we engage in our really, really big time silly. Yes, there it is. Okay, Illudium Fosdex. Okay, I was close. Fosdex. The shaving cream atom. I could have sworn it was a molecule, but I'm gonna take Lee on this because Lee's very good at this stuff. I thought so. Subject line, Baal. Baal was an honorific which meant lord or owner. It's used for many of the gods in the Levant. And, of course, I'm not at all surprised. Baal. Oh, these poor stupid people. They're going to drag us all down with them. Robert in Australia. The shaving cream, Adam. And I get a graphic with it. We're facing a crisis of the world supply of Illudium Fosdex, the shaving cream, Adam. All those years spent watching all those Warner Brothers cartoons. By God, they had a purpose. And as they say from the pulpit, here endeth the lesson. Go out and be at peace in the world. Don't conquer anything, okay? Thanks to all of you who jumped in this evening to help relieve what was looking to be a pretty brutal damned week. Still brutal, based on what has to be laid out. But it's a lot less so. So tomorrow evening, the fundraising goal will be $465. And that's a lot more manageable than $590. We're so close to fundraising free radio, I can almost taste it. Well, not taste it, but you get the idea. Thank you. And thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you earlier to Steve in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in this little program, this ongoing conversation. Thank you to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. 20 years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all. Peace be with you.